Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we help enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, and ordained minister, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Ken, and welcome everyone to Nightlight Matrix. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change that we call creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the light workers, and you answer that call from all walks of life and from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles: watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers and querens, journeyers and journeymen, seekers, star children, philosophers, light workers, light bearers, and the list goes on and on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all in our own very individual ways bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution, so sit back, take a break, share your lights with us, and join in the love and the light and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with my guest tonight, Cindy Jordan, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our personal lights. If you'd like to hear more of Ken Quiet Hawk, he can be found at nativestorytellers.com. I'm at barbaradelong.com, and our special guest tonight, Cindy Jordan, is at cynthiamusic.com. And I have to tell you, Cindy Jordan is one of the most exciting people and most lovely people that I have ever been honored to meet. She is talented. She is, for those of you who can remember way back, the composer and I think singer of Jose Cuervo. You are a friend of mine. But that's one of the fun things that she has done. She is an amazing composer. She is an incredible musician. She is a philanthropist. She's entertained people with her music, her spiritual energy, and her wisdom for over the last 30 years. She donates her services to all sorts of phenomenal causes. She has done a multitude of amazing things, and now she adds to it a list of other aspects. She is an incredible author, and the latest book that she has written is Pearl, and I have to tell you, it is just phenomenal. It was channeled, and it's one of those books that I could not put down. The music that goes along with the book, she also composed and sang. And I think that on top of the fact that you know, we want to let everybody know that Pearl is not just a piece of fiction. It's channeled material of real people, and it tells a story of a time and how women have grown through that time, survived through that time, and triumphed. And the story is so much more than just a simple story. It is the foundation for a philosophy that absolutely has brought life to where it is today. And we are celebrative of those women that lived those years because they enabled us to become who and what we are and have the freedom that we have. So I'm going to bring Cindy on. Hi, Cindy. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Barbara. Glad to be with you again and with the Blog Talk family again. I've been in my cave.
Well, I have to tell you, the results of you being in the cave are phenomenal. I mean, my gosh, to write a book is amazing. To channel a book is phenomenal, and that's exactly what you did. These women talked to you from out of time, and you wove it into a message that is profound for this day and this time.
Yes, it was quite an experience. And, you know, I can really understand how you are or how you first got started, because I know that we can all channel and we can all listen and we can all read, but it gets a little confusing at first to figure out which is your own thought and which one is a thought coming from out of left field. And so that took some time to figure that out. It was like, okay, I didn't think of that. And then there's the ones that come blasting at you that are so obvious, right, that you know. You know it's coming from another source. And so at first it's kind of, is this my imagination or is this really coming to me? And then when I realized it was coming, then I just opened up the doors and the floodgates just went. And it was almost like there was a team. And you can help me with this, Barbara, as we do this show tonight. And just to validate what I'm telling you, it was almost like I could feel this, she can hear us. She can hear us. Come on, everybody. She can hear us. She can hear us.
And don't let her go to sleep. Keep her awake.
That's right. It was like there was this party going on. Come on, she can hear us. And and so what happened was, I was getting this information, and some of it was personal information, and then I would read something and it would be validated. You know, it was really interesting how it all worked. Or, for instance, okay, what I did with this book was I took different characters and I to tell the story, and everything was researched. But when I came up with these different characters, I wanted each of them to have their own story. So I did research. What was interesting was I knew their stories before I did the research. And somewhere in my looking up things, there was a survey taken like in 1905 for women. Why did you get into prostitution? And what was interesting about it was six of my characters were right there that I'd already written about. You know, the biggest reason would be abuse. They were, their life at home was abusive, and so they would leave. Some were widows. Some were just so poor, and their families were destitute. Some of them, their families kicked them out of the house. Some of very small percentage, just they wanted fun and games, okay, and just, you know, that type of thing. But most of them had some kind of a challenge going on in their life, and that's why they got into that profession. But the smart ones made a lot of money. It created a lot of millionaires. In fact, it was the only way that somebody of no means or very little means could become a millionaire. The only way. The only way. Back because there were no opportunities for women. Zero. Now, you know, a woman can be an entrepreneur, start her own business. I heard of a woman today who started a jewelry business, and she has in 1972. She's a friend of a friend of mine, and she has places. She set up shop all over the world. I mean, she has a huge jewelry business because she had this dream in 1972 to start making jewelry, and it turned into this full-blown enterprise. That would have been impossible 100 years before. Impossible.
Right. So what time frame are we talking about here? Where is it? What age is this story set in?
Well, the very beginning of the book is 1878. In 1878 mm-hmm. was when I picked that year because it was the year of the phonograph. It was the first when Edison had first invented the phonograph, and I just liked that. And so I thought that was a really neat year, you know. And so
okay.
and that's a lot of what I would do is I would find something out that I really liked, and I'd say, okay, I'm going to make these Irish immigrants come over here from in 1878. And with the idea of what America was founded on, which was basically people, all they had was what they could carry, and they knew they would never go home again, and they were just getting on a boat chasing a dream. Now, that took some big courage to do that.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I mean, big courage. They leave their families. They leave anything they've ever known with just a suitcase, and that was it. And so that's when the story starts, is Victoria Pearl's parents are Irish immigrants, and they come to America. And then the first chapter talks about her growing up with her parents, and her parents were just very, very much in love, very, very much in love. And he treated her wonderfully, and she adored him. And she was a school teacher for an all-girls school in Illinois, near Chicago, which was another thing. It was very looked down on and very discouraged for women to get an education. Very, very much so. But she felt it was important. So this mother was teaching at a school, and she made sure that Victoria started reading when she was 6 years old. And so that's where the story starts. And then it goes into the big exposition of Chicago in, let's see, I believe it was 1898, and that was when the first Ferris wheel was built.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, and so, and I love Ferris wheels, and so, you know, so the first, then it goes into 1904 where that was the St. Louis Fair, when the ice cream cone was invented, and hamburgers and iced tea and things like that were all invented. And it was funny. That was a good example of being guided, because what would happen was, okay, so I thought, all right, she has to be at the Everly House for long enough to make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
The story is that Victoria Pearl goes to a very exclusive uptown brothel in Chicago that only caters to wealthy men. And the reason she got into business was because her parents had both passed away, and she had been soiled by this man. She fell in love with this young man, and he soiled her, basically. That's what it was called, right? And so she was damaged goods. Back in those days, if you had sex before you were married, you were considered a fallen woman. And so she was damaged goods. And she didn't really know what to do with herself, so she decides that she's just going to read, and she's just going to write men off completely, right? She just wants to read. And so she becomes a librarian because she's given up, and she figures, you know, she can't fall in love with somebody and not tell them that she's been with another man, because she has a lot of integrity as well. So she just kind of gives up on the whole thing, and then she meets Ada and Minna Everly, and they were real people. They were real women who they created a brothel, which is to prostitution as Rolex is to watches.
Now you have these clips here, and one of them is Ada and Minna's philosophy. Is this a good place to play that, or should we wait a while?
I think that it would be a great place. So the clip from, I put the book on tape, and you can, I think that's a really good place to start. So you can see what their philosophy was. What happened was these two women had gone to Omaha, Nebraska. They had married. They were women from finishing schools. And in those days, being a lady was quite an achievement, or being a gentleman. And it showed that you were from a classy family with money, right? So these two women, Ada and Minna, were sisters, and they married brothers. Well, the brothers were abusive, so they joined a theater company. This is all true, by the way. And they went to Omaha, Nebraska, and they were snubbed by the socialites there because they had these little Southern accents. And they just charmed all the men, and the women said, "I don't think we'll be doing that again." So they were invited to a socialite party, and the men fell in love with them, and the women snubbed them. So they decided to throw a tea, and none of the women showed up, which was a big sign: you've been snubbed, right? So one of the women in the theater group said, "Don't tell my mama that I'm a prostitute, or no, I'm an actress. She thinks I'm a prostitute in a bordello." And that was a joke, right?
Yeah.
That they would, because being an actress was like, a troubling enterprise. You could never, it didn't matter how much money you made, if you were wealthier than anybody that you were performing to, you were still kind of a second-class citizen as far as the elite were concerned. And it's kind of funny that way. You know, you were there to entertain the court, but you were not the court. Okay. So they had $35,000, which was a lot of money back then, and they opened up a business and said, "Fine, well, if the women don't like us, the men will." And they doubled their money within a year. And so they, that knowledge of what they had learned, and what they did was they said, "Nobody comes in here except for wealthy, wealthy men. The gentlemen, we will entertain the gentlemen. And we will do it with beautiful women with class. So they will be entertained this way by ladies." Uh-huh. And so what you're going to play is basically their philosophy and what they learned in Omaha. Then they went on a quest to find a city to open up business, and they ended up in Chicago. So what you're about to play is them talking to the girls and letting them know what the rules are.
Okay.
Right.
Minna and Ada Everly were extremely wise women.
The first thing you must always remember is to forget why you are here. Be charming and have a good time. Men are wired differently than women. They have physical needs as well as a longing for female companionship. Here at the Everly House, we have a service to fulfill, both with grace and elegance. This is how we will compete with any other brothels in Chicago. If a man just wants sex, he can go down the street and pay less for it. Here, we give them much more.
Minna was much more outspoken than her sister.
"You will not be lined up like cattle. You will position yourselves in different locations throughout the house. gentlemen only act as gentlemen when properly introduced to a lady. And remember, you are all ladies. You will receive regular examinations by a doctor. All of you are healthy now, and we expect you to stay that way. Men like women to be clean and smelling nicely. Do not be hasty to take anyone upstairs. We require that you spend at least an hour in conversation with any potential clients. This fulfills the male need for companionship. Remember, you are their fantasy girls.
We want our girls to be masterful and creative with their talents. There are several ways to satisfy a man's needs with no fear of pregnancy or disease. Again, your attitude will provide the excitement he longs for. After a man has reached his climax, your power is gone, and typically, his adoring nature will change. The longer he is experiencing your charms, the more erotic his experience will be. This increases the potential that he will return.
You will all be paid $100 a week, and you are allowed to receive tips and gifts. You have a beautiful place to live and delicious food to eat. We will be sure you are dressed well. The entry fee for every client is $10. We will charge $50 for dinner, $12 for a bottle of wine, and $50 to spend time with you. Make no mistake, we will soon be known as the finest in Chicago.
Okay, Cindy. Apparently, my switchboard's going crazy. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, you're about the only one that can. Blog Talk is being hacked again, and rather than do the show and have nobody hear it, let's reschedule it and come back when Blog Talk is actually working.
Okay.
Because nobody in the chat room can hear us. My switchboard is going absolutely crazy, and it's apparently being hacked yet again. So
this happened before.
It happened during Lizzie's show, and Lizzie had to stop her show too. Solana had to stop hers, and apparently it's happening to everybody. Nobody can hear us, and. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, Chris is in, we have two callers. They probably want readings. So let's reschedule this because this is such a good show and your material is so wonderful and you're so well prepared. I would hate to just, you know, have us go ahead and have nobody hear anything.
Okay. How did you like that little reading that we just did?
I loved it. Are you both those characters?
No. Those are all people who came in and read for me.
Oh my God, they're wonderful.
No, I know. They all did it. I've got that book on tape took forever to finish, and it was 15. It's 15 hours. The book on tape.
Oh
is.
Wow. Well, do you have your calendar there? Can we look at the Thursday nights coming up? We got the 5th, the 12th, the 19th. Do any of them work for you?
We can do the 5th.
Okay, why don't we do the 5th? And we will do it. We'll try again.
Okay, sure.
Because
I love that banner that Bear fixed for me.
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
Right.
I don't know what we'd do without Bear. I'm going to type in the chat room that we're going to come back on the 5th, and we're going to do it when Blog Talk has their act together.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay,
take care.
Darling. Bye,
thank
me.
You. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.